Hello, this is Julian Gurnham from the English Department of St. Columba's College in Dublin in Ireland. Look at our blog sccenglish.ie for more. This is the second last in a series of short talks about minor characters in the play Hamlet. Late in the play, at a critical moment, we meet a new character, one of little real importance, and one whose role is often cut drastically. But Shakespeare did know his stagecraft. So why did he give over some pages to Osric, and how can this insignificant figure help us in our study of the play? The answer, as it is with so many other minor characters, such as Fortinbras, Horatio, Laertes, is in what he tells us about Hamlet. For when Osric has his brief and rather peculiar meeting with the prince, Hamlet is heading towards the defining moment of his life, the one when he will take revenge for the murder of his dear father. As I've already said in a couple of these talks, particularly those on Polonius and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, Claudius's court is full of sycophants, people whose only real concern is their position in the court, and who lack any moral fibre, just like their boss. Osric seems to be one of these. He has come to organise the fencing match with Laertes. His first slurpy line to Hamlet is, "Your lordship is right welcome back to Denmark," and Hamlet immediately skewers him by calling him, to Horatio, a waterfly, a nothing, a skater over the surface of things. By the way, if you take out the commoner garden words such as the, and so on, the most commonly used significant word in the play is lord, and a pretty good proportion of these lords seem to come from Osric. This is a hierarchical culture in which everyone calls each other lord. When Hamlet says it is hot, or cold, or sultry, Osric agrees with him every time. When he finally gets around to delivering his message, he produces an absurdly baroque sentence which Hamlet immediately mocks. "Sir, his definement suffers no perdition in you," and so on. And Osric rises to the bait. "Your lordship speaks most infallibly of him." There follows much stuff about the details of the fencing, and Hamlet seems to be enjoying toying with this waterfly. So if we can dismiss the waterfly as a man of no importance in himself, he does nevertheless serve the function of highlighting something in Hamlet, a state of mind we have already seen suggested in his encounter with the first gravedigger, who will be the subject of the next and final of these talks. In his discussion with Osric, there's none of the fraught, intense Hamlet of the early part of the play. Instead, he seems liberated, unbothered, light on his feet, ready for what is to come. And after Osric is gone, he says to Horatio that such men are the same breed that I know the drossy age dotes on, who sound the tune of the time. They are a sort of yeasty collection, which carries through and through the most profound and winnowed opinions, and do but blow them to their trial, the bubbles are out. But there's no anger here. As we've seen since he returned from Hamlet, he is at ease with himself, ready for what is to come. And when Horatio says that he will put off the fencing match, in case there is something underhand about it, Hamlet responds, "Not a whit. We defy augury. There is special providence in the fall of a sparrow. If it be not now, 'tis not to come. If it be not to come, it will be now. If it be not now, yet it will come. The readiness is all. Since no man knows aught of what he leaves, what is to leave betimes? Let be." And there is the answer to the famous question, to be or not to be. Let be. Hamlet has some much more serious encounters to come in the remaining pages of the play, with Claudius most of all. But even in that short scene with Osric, we can see that he is now at ease, comfortable in his own skin, ready to face what is to come.